There is a cleanup effort underway for General Milley. Now military officials are saying, oh, these were routine calls with Chinese officials. More on that momentarily as we welcome you back halfway home just after halftime on Matt and Val on Talk 99.5. We are 13 hours of live and local communication, conversation, information on Talk 99.5. You individually and collectively have made us your number one source for breaking news, information, and opinion on radio. And we thank you for that. All across Alabama, we appreciate your listening. Tell a friend or a neighbor about Talk 99.5 and the Matt and Val Show.
Yeah, you can always reach us, too, on the Birmingham Broker phone lines, 545-9950. And kind of covering what's going on in the news today, we followed this election out in California, and Gavin Newsom pretty much easily won with a little over 64% of the vote. So he will remain in office, I guess, for another year, Matt?
Yeah, there's two questions that go on that ballot. One, would we want to recall Gavin Newsom, yes or no? Two, who would you vote for in the case of recall? Larry Elder, was like, conservative talk show host, was
number one,
far and away. But they voted not to. I mean, it was anticipated, considering that Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 in that state. And the Democrats were effective in keeping any Democrat challengers off of the recall ballot.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know that there was some frustration for some Californians that live out there over how he has handled everything through COVID. And that's why this whole election came about. But again, when it's 2-1, Democrats versus Republicans out there, or conservatives and liberals out there, you're going to end up with what you ended up with in that election yesterday.
Well, and understand, a California Republican is not exactly an Alabama Republican.
No, that's vastly different.
A California conservative, not exactly an Alabama conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin McCarthy is a Republican. He's from California. Mm-hmm. By any standard set in Alabama, he's a rhino. Yeah.
I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we're a big country.
I'm
we're
not monolithic.
Can you say if they're still in
I think for California, though, if you live in California and you're a Democrat in California, then he's pretty conservative if you're a Californian. But for our standards, if you brought Kevin McCarthy here in Alabama, it would.
I don't know that he could get elected.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he could either.
Also, yesterday on Capitol Hill in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was grilled over the Afghanistan exit. He was also asked some questions by the ranking member, Senator. Are we saying his name right? Is it
Reish?
I don't know that I've heard it pronounced. And if I've heard it pronounced, I have.
We apologize that we're brutalizing your name.
Well, anyway, the good senator questioned Secretary of State Blinken on who exactly is in charge. This is on the heels. Do you have the Biden? Are you still looking for the Biden?
Yeah, I just pulled it up where he said, yeah.
Because I'd like to play the setup first, if possible. What happened 2 days ago regarding a conference, a Zoom call. I don't know what you would call these things. It's not a press conference. He doesn't answer questions.
This is a clip where it says he's not taking any questions.
And then he takes questions?
Yes.
Let's see if this. Let's all play this game together. Did okay. John pull the right clip?
Oh, Lord.
I asked him for the clip.
Hope you're right, John. Hope you did.
In question, let's give it a go together. Go!
I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan?
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
Yeah, that's not. That was a month and a half ago or so. That was a way long time ago. This happened 2 days ago in which the president asked a question. He wanted to find out. Let me ask you a question. He started meandering, and after meandering for a little bit, the White House cut off the feed.
They just turned the mic off.
They turned his mic off. Well, yeah, someone cut off the feed.
Uh-huh. Who is that person? Who's the person behind the green curtain?
Right, and don't worry about the clip, John. Don't waste your time getting it. Just pull up the Blinken exchange with Senator Reish,
I guess.
I don't know. So the senator wants to know from Blinken, who's calling the shots here? The president is having a press conference. That's what we're calling it. He's getting information about wildfires. Mm-hmm. In the western United States. He's getting a lot of this information. He goes off script, wants to ask a question, starts asking the question. He starts rambling, and suddenly his mic gets cut, and the blue screen goes up, live from the White House, blah, 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 blah. And Reish wants to know, who did this? Right. Who's calling the shots? And Anthony Blinken acted like the dude had just eaten a bug in front of him.
He asked that question about six different ways that he could ask it. And Blinken could not come up with an answer, or if he knew the answer, he wasn't giving out the answer.
Let's listen to the exchange. Go.
Somebody in the White House has authority to press the button and stop the president, cut off the president's speaking ability and sound. Who is that person?
I think anyone who knows the president, including members of this committee, knows that he speaks very clearly and very deliberately for himself.
It's been widely reported that somebody has the ability to push the button and cut off his sound and stop him from speaking. Who is that person?
There is no such person. Again, the president speaks for himself, makes all of the strategic decisions, informed by the best advice that he can get from the people around him.
So are you unaware that this is actually happening? Because it happened yesterday at the Interagency Fire Center. It was widely reported. The media's reported on it. And it's not the first time it's happened. It's happened several times. Are you telling this committee that this does not happen, that there's no one in the White House who pushes the button and cuts him off in mid-sentence?
That's correct.
Did you hear a couple of uncomfortable laughs from Blinken?
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that he's not that he knows the answer. He's not telling the answer.
We just heard it 2 days ago. Joe Biden, I've got a question. So we've been talking about this the years where you get the fires and the. You're coming out, and, you know, he's just rambling. And it just, the screen goes blue, and his mic cuts off.
Mm-hmm. How convenient. We're rambling. What? We don't know where we're going. Let's just shut this down so it doesn't become a fiasco.
White House had no information, no explanation.
Uh-huh. Of course they don't. Anybody believing that? Anybody believing that somebody didn't turn off his mic?
Let's talk to Ranger next in Tuscaloosa. Ranger, good morning.
Hey, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
I think it was Sam who brought up the allegation that General Milley violated his oath of office.
Is it Milley or Milley?
Milley, whatever he is.
Yeah, I don't care. I thought you might have been pronouncing it correctly, and I was doing it incorrectly. That's why I asked.
Them, like my wife, I call them all sir or dear or whatever. Okay. Well, first of all, he did not. What Sam was quoting was the enlisted oath of office. It says, I obey the orders of the president and the officers appointed above me. That is not in the officer's oath of office. Okay, so he's not in violation. He may be in violation of something in the Constitution, but that's a totally different argument.
Do you know the officer's oath of office and how it differs from the enlisted man off the top of your head?
I could read it to you.
How long is it? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Very little. I have been appointed as an officer in whatever branch of the United States as indicated above in the grade of, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter. So help me God.
Yeah, that's basically the presidential oath of office.
Yeah.
Right. Essentially the same thing. Yeah.
Correct. And you know, all the others, you know, like senators and all that other stuff.
Do you believe that Milley did this, called China?
I have no idea. I've not looked into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woodward's brought up some good stuff before, but yeah.
Well, Woodward has a couple of hits for every miss, right? But that's not a percentage that I'm willing to stake my career on. So I take it with a grain of salt what Woodward has to say. At the same time, I agree with Valerie. Valerie's exactly right. We have to investigate it, right?
Right. I got that. It's a very serious allegation. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you, Ranger, called in and cleared that up. Did you serve, sir?
Yeah, I've been a company commander twice, all the way up to brigade commander.
Well, God bless you. Thank you.
And every time you're promoted, the officer, by tradition, takes the oath of office again.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent.
No, I don't have it memorized. I got to read it.
Well, no, I get it.
Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you for your service,
yes.
Ranger.
All right.
All right. Take care. There's Ranger clearing some of that up. That's good stuff.
This book, I'm telling you, if he's written this and the two things, Milley contacting China and then also superseding the president, the sitting president, on January the 8th, 2 days after what happened at the Capitol, saying that he wasn't of sound mind, is just unbelievable. And this would be, doesn't this fall under treason? Does this not? Is that not treason? Or
here's the thing. We're not engaged in a hot war with China.
No.
I mean, I would argue that we're in a cold war with China. They sure as hell are in a cold war with us.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
But Milley decided that he would take the side of the Chinese and give them the heads up if his commander-in-chief made the decision to do something that he didn't like.
If that is true, that's treasonous. That is treason. I don't know how else to describe it. You're contacting the country that we potentially could go to battle with?
How about this? General Milley is now slated to testify before the Senate September 28th.
I cannot wait to hear it. On the 28th, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We'll be in Washington, D.C.
I know we will. I was just thinking about that.
That testimony's probably, normally it starts around 10 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Central time. We'll carry some of that for you live on Talk 99.5 and reflect on it as Valerie and I head up to Washington, D.C. to broadcast
amazing.
Up there for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. It's 8:15. Good morning. Glad you're with us. Jay is in Tuscaloosa. He's coming up next. If you've seen Gary Palmer, let him know that we're on high alert for him. 545-9950 is the telephone number as we continue. We continue to remind you about our friends at Absco Fireplace and Patio. Absco Fireplace and Patio wants you ready for the fall season. I mean, football's already here. Goodness me! After this weekend's game, we're a quarter of the way done. I know that's very depressing
season. Don't say that.
I mean, it is. But you need to get the backyard right. You need to get the patio furniture right. You need to get the big green egg and the like. For football season from Absco.
Yeah, do a fire pit. I'm telling you, the cool temperatures, we're, you know, mid-September, October's going to be here. It's going to feel great out. Go over to Absco Fireplace and Patio, two locations. They've got beautiful fire pits, a huge selection. Their warehouse is full again. Go by and get what you need for your patio, be it cushions, the big green egg like Matt said, or get a fire pit, maybe something for the fireplace at Absco Fireplace and Patio.
Absco Fireplace and Patio. Once again, two fine locations. One is on Highway 280 in Inverness. The other, just off of 119 State Park Road in Pelham. Absco Fireplace and Patio. Stop by today. It is Talk 99.5. Thank you for being out there. Rain, rain, rain.
And a little more rain.
The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out.
Mm-hmm.
Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. But the sun won't come out because it's going to rain again.
Next 4 days we got rain. Rain, 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 rain. And all of this is from Tropical Storm Nicholas. We'll get some showers through here.
Nicholas.
South Alabama, a lot of rain. Our area, yeah, Montgomery, it's raining.
Spitty.
4 days of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Little spitty here.
That's great. Dogs get mud on their feet, track it all in the new house.
In the house, isn't that great?
Fabulous.
No.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, have you reached out to your iHang? You said you know somebody that works at iHang TVs,
yes,
right?
I did a jingle for them several years ago.
You know the man.
Oh, you know the man.
Well, have you called the man?
Well, no,
that's a vague Andy Griffith reference.
Just call the man, Andy. Yeah, no, I'll call him as soon as we're off the air.
What else are you doing?
It's called producing.
Oh, I see. So the show supersedes my personal desires to get my television hung. I get it. You're right, actually. That's true.
That was a test.
Mm-hmm. I know. I passed. 545-9950. Jay is in Tuscaloosa next. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Good morning, y'all.
How's it going, Jay?
Hello?
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 How are y'all doing?
We're good, Jay. Go ahead. What you got?
Hello?
I'm fine.
Hello?
Stop, Matt.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'm messing with you now.
Not only does Millie need to be fired or resign, everybody that was in that room with him that swore an oath to him needs to be fired and fined and resigned because he was colluding with our enemy who attacked us with a biological weapon, this Chinese virus.
Well, good point made, Jay. Yeah, we need to find out if there is truth in this. And then secondly, who else was in that room is what we need to find out.
Well, he's testifying later on this month. Certainly there are records. Certainly there are phone records. Now, we might not know the specific nature of each individual telephone call, but the report, I saw a report that he called him before the election happened. He called this Chinese general before the election happened and said, hey, everything's okay, we're all good. And then he calls him on January 8th and tells him that again. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, why are we calling China to give them a heads up?
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, why are we talking to a sworn enemy who, they don't care anything about human life at all?
Well, you're right about that. Just cite the human rights abuses that are going on every day in China. And for the life of me, I don't understand why the liberal left loves to chum up against the Chinese government. But they do. Unfortunately, that is a 50-year war that people don't see coming. Or see that it's already here.
Yep. And it's interesting, the connection between the Biden family and Hunter Biden and all of that. It's just some really strange facts that we need to dig a little deeper.
In just a little bit, Talk 99.5, Matt and Val will remember the one and only Norm MacDonald. Right after this. Jason Lee on News. The kids call us TNNF, Talk 99.5, Matt Murphy and Valerie Vining, 833. Good morning.
Good morning to all of you. Birmingham Broker phone lines, feel free to call us and join in the conversation, 205-545-9950.
So, it's National Preparedness Month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always amused at these types of things.
And that is... because
shouldn't we
always be prepared?
Always be prepared.
Sometimes we're not, Matt. Sometimes we're not.
Well, I mean, I guess it's all about what you're preparing for.
That's true too. Probably should always be prepared.
You'd think National Preparedness Month. Hey, Mike Hubbard, the former representative from the Auburn area, also Speaker of the House, once considered to be one of the, if not the most influential and powerful politicians in the state of Alabama, has been in jail for about a year. He was accused of getting too close to the fire with regard to some shady financial dealings with individuals that were also doing deals with the state of Alabama. Valerie, if I told you that Mike Hubbard would serve, let's say, 18 months, is that enough?
It's a good question. For what he did? Should he be released early?
He is applying for early release, mm-hmm. which is the reason that I bring this up. He is asking, I think I saw it yesterday, I'll look it up. I believe he was originally scheduled to like 28 months in jail, something like that. I mean, it really does...
He wants to go from 48 months to 28 months.
48 months.
48 to 28. And the, it was 23 felonies. Is that?
Hold on.
Yes.
He received a split sentence, 28 months in prison, followed by 8 years of probation. So his sentence is 28 months. He's looking to get out of jail, well, I guess now, mm-hmm. after serving 12 of the 28. So... less than half of his sentence. If I told you he served half his sentence, 14 months.
Is that enough?
Is that enough? I mean, the man's lost his livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
He violated the trust of the citizens of Alabama. We know Mike a long time. I certainly know Mike a long time. Personally, love Mike to death. You can't get that close to the fire and not expect to be burned. I think Governor Bob Riley said it exactly right. You can either be governor or you can be rich. I don't think you can be both. Mike Hubbard tried to be both, it seems. I don't know. Some would, you know, I think this falls along political lines, and some would suggest that he needs to serve his entire sentence.
Well, you know, the thing is, you are in a pretty powerful position, and you were put in that position to do what you needed to do for the people of Alabama, and you broke that trust at minimum with the people of Alabama, and then you went above and beyond that and, again, arrested and charged with 23 felonies. That's pretty significant.
Mike Hubbard wrote a letter to the court as a part of his early release request, and I want to read you a portion of that. He acknowledged his crimes. He apologized to the citizens of Alabama and Lee County, which he represented in the legislature. The fact that I was convicted of violating the ethics law, of which I oversaw the drafting and passing, is embarrassing, and I apologize to the court. Hubbard wrote that his incarceration had been humbling and difficult, particularly the separation from his family and community. He also said he hoped to emerge a better man. The motion also includes letters from Lee County political leaders and former Auburn star and professional baseball player Bo Jackson. I realize this situation has only further damaged the public trust placed in the elected officials as the court stated in its order, harms society as a whole. I take responsibility for my mistakes, and should the court be inclined to grant my release, I will use this opportunity to rebuild trust with those who have lost faith in me and the entire political system. Here's the deal. You find the man, you make him pay retribution. If violent or semi-violent criminals are getting out of jail on early release, I don't have a problem with Mike Hubbard getting out of jail on early release. I do not believe that he is a danger to himself or to society. I believe he served his sentence. Not the full sentence, but I don't have a problem with this. Our prisons are overcrowded anyway. We need to incarcerate violent human beings and to make sure that Mike Hubbard pays the money that he owes the state.
Well, pays the money and that he never serves in any capacity representing the state of Alabama again.
Yeah, I mean, that's over for you.
Yeah,
that's over for you. Mm-hmm. You can't do that anymore. You have to go do something else. Maybe, you know, he was a radio station owner, operator for some time. Maybe you go back into that. I don't know. Maybe a lucrative talk radio career is in your future. Hello, G. Gordon Liddy.
Did it. Absolutely.
You know?
Made it happen. Yeah, that's a possibility.
Mike is as verbose as they come. Not to say that we need more in the arena of political talk radio, Valerie.
Come one, come all.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of politics, we'll get into Kay Ivey's little brush with Mark Zuckerberg.
How
coming
about
up in a
that
moment.
On Facebook? And then the excuse that came after it.
We thought it was a bank
phony
account.
Phony baloney.
Whatever.
Phony baloney. You did it on purpose, Facebook. You didn't like that Kay Ivey was pushing back on Joe Biden.
That's right.
And you took down the page.
Uncle Joe. I'm a little surprised that his ineptitude is not causing more concern. And I'm a little surprised, frankly, as we await calls from the Birmingham Broker phone lines 545-9950, that more are not concerned that we have generals in our United States military. I mean, we set up a civilian commander-in-chief for a reason, because we did not want our military to take over our country.
Yes.
And when General Milley does something like this, that is, in effect, taking over the responsibility and role of the
president.
Of the citizen leader of the military, which is designed specifically that way. Frightening.
It is frightening. And you're contacting China? And the excuse in the book, apparently, is that he was trying to blend what was happening with the Trump administration going out and the Biden administration coming in, reassuring them that nothing militarily would happen between that transition. That is not your role, General Milley.
And it's total Bravo Sierra.
Yes, I think so, too.
And then there's this. We made this promise. We'll pay it off. So Norm MacDonald died at the age of 61. I always had an affinity for Norm MacDonald. I just loved his brand of humor. I loved his personality style. It was authentic. It was genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, there is sometimes you get shtick. Like, remember Emo Phillips.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about him until the Red Eye Radio boys mentioned him this morning. Nobody believes that Emo
was
acts that way
right.
in real life.
Yeah. I don't know. There may be a percentage of people that believe that the real deal, but I think most of us thought, oh, that's quite an act.
Yeah, and, I mean, nobody believes that Stephen Wright is that guy in real life. I mean, really, that's kind of just what he is on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert Gottfried.
I don't know. There's a little bit of Gilbert in real life. Maybe it's just the voice.
I mean, you know, a little.
It's the voice.
I mean, I guess
Gilbert.
A little.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have 5 minutes, I'll tell you one of the funniest, filthy jokes you've ever heard in your life that I heard Gilbert Gottfried do years
it on
and years
the
ago.
Air.
No,
yeah,
I cannot.
I cannot.
And then there's Norm Macdonald. I think Norm Macdonald was his authentic self. I mean, he did have a...
He's had such a dry sense of humor to start. People didn't get him, I thought, in the beginning. Like, when he first started on Saturday Night Live, he was one of those comedians that kind of grew on you, mm-hmm. and you were like, I can't wait for some more Norm Macdonald.
Oh, my God.
A little of that.
Norm Macdonald on Weekend Update was one thing. Norm Macdonald as Burt Reynolds on Jeopardy.
He played that, too. I mean, he was perfect.
With the gum chew. Hey, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not Burt Reynolds. I'm Turd Ferguson. He called himself Turd. You have said Threave. Threave. He said,
I like Norm.
Suck it, Trebek. That was Sean Connery. Anyway, so Norm Macdonald dead at the age of 61, too soon, battled cancer. We don't know what kind. He kept that very private. Several months ago, I happened upon this bit, and it is a part of a special called Hitler's Dog. And if you think about it, it's kind of an existential juxtaposition, right? That no matter how bad, I mean, it is a statement not about Hitler, but about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter how bad of a human being you are, and there are plenty of bad human beings out there.
Oh, I got a story today about bad human beings and dogs.
I'll have to leave the room
if you tell
that story.
I understand.
If you tell that story about those dogs.
It's true.
I will. I mean, I'm just.
It happened.
I'm just telling you.
Mm.
I can't. Listen to it.
Okay. Maybe we'll pass it.
I know.
I won't.
Your name's on the door, too. I just can't.
I won't do it to you. I won't do it to
you. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
We did it this morning before the show, and I was like, Mallory, I can't. It is about a woman abusing dogs, and it's just awful.
It's awful. I hope she never has dogs again and certainly never has children. Never. This woman should never. This is one of those categories. Do not let this woman have children because of the way she treated her dogs. She treated her dogs this way. You don't think that she'll treat kids? I wonder if she has kids. I don't even know the answer to that. I'll have to find that out. Very disturbing story out of St. Louis.
Can we talk about Hitler's
dog?
Okay,
let's talk about Hitler's dog. Yes, let's go back to that.
So the juxtaposition between the most evil man in the world, you know, typically Adolf Hitler's always, he's the most evil man in the world. That ever lived, whatever, Genghis Khan, whatever. His dog still loves him. I mean, to Hitler's dog, well, why should I say it? Let's let Norm say it.
Hitler had a dog. Now, you think of that. I'm no fan of Hitler. I never liked him. I didn't like him before it was cool not to like him. But there was a dog in history who loved Hitler more than anyone. He would wake up in the morning and go, where's Hitler? You know? And Goering or something would go like, he's not here, he's doing some evil stuff. I've explained to you, he spends most of his time doing evil stuff. You can't see him that often. He goes, okay, I don't know. I'm not trying to, listen, Goering, I love you. You know, I love Mingle, I love everybody. All of you guys are the greatest. But it's just Hitler is the greatest man who's ever lived.
Just after that, he goes on to say, that's the part that they'll pull out. That's the end of my career there. Hitler's the great. That's the part they'll pull out and be on the social media there.
That was some of Norm's. His voice had a lot to do with his.
Oh, his presentation.
His presentation was great.
I don't think anybody else could do it, no. Right?
Well, you did a pretty good impersonation earlier this morning. I was impressed with that.
Number one job in the world. President of the United
States. That's pretty good.
Number one.
Pretty close.
545-9950, 46 after the hour. Buckets Away Waterproofing wants to remind you as the rain comes down that perhaps it is getting in your basement or your crawl space. As the rain comes down, perhaps it is getting in an area where it's going to cause danger to your home or your family. Health is of a number one concern, should be, to you right now. Let's get healthy in your home by calling Brandon at Buckets Away Waterproofing. If you're already started in the process, I encourage you to go ahead and give him a call and let Brandon come out and give you an estimate. He believes he can beat those big boy prices. It's 222-6443. That's 222-6443 for water encapsulation and waterproofing. There's only one. It's Buckets Away Waterproofing. Started in 2017 in Helena, Alabama. I encourage you to call Buckets Away. It is Talk 99.5, 851. Just over an hour to go. We'll hand off to News and Views with Tim, Dale. After that, it's Richard Dixon for 3 hours and Leland Live. Leland AJ getting you home for 4 hours this afternoon until 7 o'clock. It's 13 hours of live and local conversation.
Question for you, Matt.
Yes.
Got $16.5 million in your back pocket. I know you got a little extra cash right now because you sold your house.
Uh-huh.
There's a house in Florida that might be just, not that I want you to move to Florida, but might be just perfect for you and E.
So, you know, we're renting for a year or so.
Yes.
And we're
looking.
By the way, I got the thumbs up from Trevor, the landlord, on the professional hanging
excellent.
The TV.
Excellent. That's what you needed.
He said, just get a pro in there, make sure we're not doing anything to compromise the chimney, and we're all good.
Love
and
it.
John Bird said he has a line on a guy.
There you go. See, so you're going to get
the iHang TVs guy.
I got you.
Excellent.
He's going to help me out.
There you go.
You think we can get him out today, John? What do you think?
I don't know. They're pretty busy. I can. I'll pull some strings. I'll grease.
At least before football on Saturday, right?
No. At least before 5 o'clock today.
Okay, before 5 o'clock, John Bird.
Come on.
Get on that, John Bird.
Ask for the world, and if you just get a part of it, you know.
I'd be like, if you can make it happen before kickoff on Saturday.
Look, I don't want the world. I just want your half.
Sure. Your half.
That's very sweet.
So this house, Shaquille O'Neal is selling a house in Florida for $16.5 million. He's actually discounted the house.
It's a lot of money.
He bought the house in 93, a little less than $4 million he paid for it. 12 bedrooms. This is near Orlando. It has an indoor basketball court, 17-car garage, and a 95-foot swimming pool. And it's on the water.
95-foot?
95-foot swimming pool.
I bet it's got a big bathtub.
I bet there's a lot of big bathtubs. 12 bedrooms.
Everything oversized? Did he have it built or did he buy it?
I don't know the answer to that. But here's the deal. He kind of took a cut because when he started selling this house, 31,000 square foot house, it's unbelievable.
Well, you realize I can't sell a house again, right? You know this. I can't.
The next one is it?
No,
what?
I can't possibly top this experience. Stephanie and Sue, mm-hmm. Stephanie was my realtor. Sue was the other realtor involved in the sale. She was the buyer's realtor. They're both laughing at me because I told them I hadn't sold a house before. And I said, this was such a great experience. They said, don't sell a house again. Because right now you sell a house and it sells in a day.
Sure. And you make some profit on it.
And they tell you, believe it or not, sometimes you're Shaquille O'Neal and it's on the market for...
Yeah. This one's been on the market for like 4 years. He can't sell it. He's dropped the price.
Poor fella.
Mm-hmm.
Started, I feel bad for
started
him.
Started out at $28 million, dropped it to $21 million, and now it's discounted at $16.5 million.
I'll take it off his hands for $750,000.
Really? Wow.
In unrelated news, Valerie, I need to borrow $750,000.
I wish I had it for you. Goodness gracious, what a house.
Calvin, we'll get to you. One more hour to go as we continue. It is Matt and Val on Talk 99.5. Thank you for being out there. Talk99.5.com. Here's Jason Lee. He's got a fresh batch of first news, and that is coming up right now.